Welcome to Meditation and Aliens with Doro and Matt, a webcast that explores everything we currently know about the truth about aliens, human history, reality, consciousness, and the role meditation can do to help us understand all these things, and how we might all work together to build the best world possible for all beings, human or non-human alike. Meditation and Aliens is hosted by me, Matt Reddy. I'm an amateur ufologist. I have a degree in philosophy. I'm the creator of HiveOne.net. I'm also an elected public hospital commissioner in Jefferson County, Washington. Each week, I am joined by Doro Kiley, longtime meditator, a meditation teacher, and an experiencer with many stories, and life coach extraordinaire. You can find more about Doro at her website, creationcoach.com. Now, on to the show. And we're back. How you doing, Doro?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to see how your class went yesterday.
Yep. Another class with Daniel Sheehan and the New Paradigm Institute.
Awesome.
And it's class number 3. Mm-hmm. I got some stuff to talk about there. There was also Daniel Sheehan was on News Nation because Ross Coulthart has now a show on News Nation. I think it's called Reality Check.
Okay.
And he had a big interview with Daniel. And it was actually pretty powerful because Daniel basically said that within 2 weeks ago, the Arrow, the Pentagon's group that's responsible for giving Congress a report on the history of UFOs back to 1947, they released their...
Is that an acronym for something? I don't mean to cut you off. I'm taking notes and I want to make sure Was that Arrow? Is that an acronym or is that actually like a bow and arrow spelling?
I think it's AARO. It's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
Okay.
Office within the United States. It's a Secretary of Defense. And they just released their report, which had been due, and everyone was really curious what this report would say. Yeah. And basically the report was a big sham, basically another Project Blue Book. They said there's basically no evidence of anything and they haven't had any reports from anyone about with any direct evidence or of information about any secret UFOs or technology being in the possession of the US military.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Daniel Sheehan said, he basically went on Ross Coulthart's show and said that Sean Kirkpatrick, who's responsible for that report, is lying to Congress because Daniel Sheehan himself is revealing that he has direct evidence, that he has seen direct evidence and that he reported it to Sean Kirkpatrick in person himself. He says when he was assigned by President Carter to research the UFO phenomenon, he was given access in the National Archives to the classified files of Project Blue Book, which when he went through it, he saw photographs of a crashed UFO, of a crashed flying saucer, a silver disc. I think it was in the snow. And from this silver disc, that's the one he wrote down the symbols. He wrote down the symbols that were on it.
Right, yeah.
And he took those to the Vatican and to see if they had any idea what they said. And so basically Daniel Sheehan said that counts as direct, that's direct witness testimony. I mean, seeing a photograph of something is direct evidence in a court of law. That is considered direct as a firsthand witness.
Boy,
of evidence, he reported
tricky.
That.
Yeah. Now with AI, that's going to be harder and harder to determine what's a real photograph.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, he's just saying that Sean Kirkpatrick lied to Congress. And
yes.
And so he's making it's a very serious accusation. I mean, it's defamation. So if he's lying, if Daniel Sheehan was lying, then Sean Kirkpatrick could sue him for defamation. But basically him and Ross Coulthart were talking about it and they were basically like, please sue us then. Let's take this to a court of law because You, Mr. Sean Kirkpatrick, are lying to Congress. Let's bring the evidence forward. And really, he's even challenging Congress to bring, to subpoena Kirkpatrick and make him come and testify before Congress about this.
Wow. Was this the majority of your class? The whole.
Oh, no. This happened the week before my class. I just thought it was interesting because
set the foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was class number three, and it was legal implications of this whole UFO cover-up that's been going on. And he said, so basically this is what we did. Daniel reviewed the eight basic scenarios of how this could set up from a legal perspective. And the legal implications of this UFO cover-up differ depending on what the truth is behind the cover-up. And so like the first scenario is the MJ-12 scenario, the Majestic 12 scenario, which is basically that that there really are aliens, the UFOs are real, the Roswell crash happened, and the story of Majestic 12 is that after the Roswell crashed, they took the crash vehicle to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Then President Truman created a secret committee of 12 people. This was concealed from Congress. And this secret group called Majestic 12 has been studying the phenomenon for years, looking for advantage to create full spectrum military dominance and probably some profiteering for themselves. And so that's one scenario that is the most popular in the UFO community and very commonly thought to be true.
So,
but it's only
Truman,
one of eight.
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to keep up with the details. So Truman put together the MJ-12, right?
Yep. And there's a document that came out many in the 80s or something that basically, that the CIA claims is a fraud, but it's the document that explains, it even lists the first 12 people that were on it, including
I was going to ask who was on it.
Yeah, there was a guy named Forrestal, who was the Secretary of Defense back then, who eventually died by falling out a window from a hospital. And they say that the story is that the CIA killed him because he was going to spill the beans. They made it look like a suicide out a window.
Oh, boy.
And that's a true thing. He was Secretary of Defense, and that's how he died. So it's just but whether or not he was killed, that's the theory.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's one.
That's one. That's number one. And he said there would be eight, but we were all taking notes, and it looks like he only got to seven theories. But all right. So that's number one. If that one is true, then basically he said the legal implications are that MJ-12 is an illegal committee. You're not allowed by the Constitution to create some private committee outside of the oversight of Congress and give it authority over anything related to potential foreign adversaries or foreign invasions. And if aliens are real and they got ships, they count as a foreign adversary. And if their ships are landing in the U.S., that's a potential foreign invasion.
Wow.
So he's like, so basically Truman started the constitutional problem immediately back then. So that's one legal framework for this.
Wowie zowie.
So the second, should I go to the next one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the second one is he calls the Brown Brothers capitalist elite theory. And basically he's saying in this theory that the whole cover up has basically been a bunch of corporate capitalist, like robber barons, like the Rockefellers and stuff. They were basically been hiding aliens and alien technology basically just to enrich themselves for decades. So they're just so it's like under this theory, it's possible maybe MJ-12 doesn't even exist and this is just a corporate thing and it's just profiteering. And the important difference is that would be a criminal racketeering enterprise that you'd have to handle through the justice system, instead of if it's an MJ-12 scenario, then Congress would need to like form a select committee like the Church Commission did back when the CIA was committing assassinations and stuff. Back, I don't know, in the 70s or 80s, the Church Committee did a big thing there. So anyways, so that's kind of the second theory, is that this is a capitalist corporate
The
thing.
Brown Brothers. Now, I've never heard of the Brown Brothers. I mean, I've heard of the Koch Brothers or the Koch Brothers, whatever you call them, and all these other. But yeah, this is a new name for me. I have not heard that before.
Okay, yeah, and I can summarize this because he went, the details of this are that this, he calls it the Private Brown Brothers Harriman Private Corporate Self-Interest Conspiracy. That's kind of how I title it. It's not, it doesn't have a really good, great name, but it's basically, he says that the theory is, the story is that even before MJ-12 was created, that during, or I get at the end of World War II, a secret treasure hoard was found in the Philippines. And this treasure hoard had $1.2 trillion in gold, silver, platinum, and diamonds and fine jewels. And it was
Oh
hidden
my.
in these like oil barrels in the Philippines. And Truman and some guy named Stinson, when they were notified of this, they basically squirreled it away and they put it into a private trust called the Anderson Trust. And
Oh
this
my.
Anderson Trust of $1.2 trillion worth of stuff back then has been used ever since to fund covert operations and to basically serve the interests of the group that's been in control of this trust, which is basically a group of private individuals ever since then. And he's basically saying that this is like maybe MJ-12 still was created, but this was before it. It's really, this is where it was a corporate. Basically Truman committed a crime, taking that hoard of money, giving it to this private trust rather than claiming it for the US government. And so this is basically, that's the base of the second scenario. And he said it, this would be a oh wait, sorry, my notes go on. He says, so this trust was created, and then he says Brown Brothers Harriman is a private investment group, and it was a private investment group of the Carnegies, Rockefellers, and other robber barons.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And yeah, so let's see. And they've controlled it for profit. And he basically said this would be a federal criminal racketeering operation, full on criminal conspiracy, and would require a massive criminal investigation of the Justice Department, not necessarily a select committee from Congress. That's the second theory.
Oh my God. Oh, I thought that. Okay, so that was all the second theory. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of fits with the MJ-12. It just means that this corporate thing happened potentially before MJ-12.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Woo, three.
Okay. The third one, he basically says the third one is that the root of all this is a executive branch secret treaty with one or more alien groups. And so this, again, it could fit with the other ones, but the other ones could be completely not true. And it could just be that the US government met with aliens and the executive branch signed a secret treaty with them. And this would be, I think this goes back to the Eisenhower theory, the theory that Eisenhower in 1953 met face to face with aliens and signed this treaty. And, we don't know what the terms of the treaty were. There's lots of theories. But if the story is that this treaty, it set the aliens, well, the story is that Eisenhower actually met with two different alien groups, and he chose one group insisted that we end our nuclear weapons program, but he didn't go with them. He went with the other group, which the story is kind of that that was the reptilian group, and that this other group said, you can go ahead and build your nuclear weapons. We'll even give you some technology you can try to reverse engineer, but you just
Oh
have to give
boy.
us permission to abduct people once in a while
All
for,
right.
gentle medical evaluation, And they
Wow.
signed that treaty. That's the theory.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
So,
that could be.
yeah.
Yeah.
So the legal implications of that one, this third, the treaty thing, is that one, no treaty is legal unless 2/3 of the Senate ratifies it.
Okay.
And so he's saying if this third scenario is the deal, then basically we're looking at a treaty that is illegal and not ratified by the Senate, unless it was ratified by the Senate in secret or something.
And that's a secret too.
Right.
Oh no.
And he said there's, and then he made an interesting point. They might be getting around the Senate ratification by saying that the president has the authority to negotiate treaties for a period of time without any communication to the Senate before he brings it for ratification. So it might just be they've been in an 80-year time period
Holding period.
of
Wow.
treaty negotiations.
Oh man. Okay. Well, so do you think this could still come up then for the ratification, like do it right?
Oh, I mean, who knows? Who knows? They could
Yeah.
be, yeah. Maybe they could just be like, oh, all this has been going on under the veil of ongoing treaty negotiations, which is in the authority of the executive branch.
Wow. Okay. All right. Do you have any attraction to any one of these so far? I mean, that you've mentioned the
Well, I mean, they technically all
MJ12.
could be true. They all
Yeah.
do kind of fit together. It's really, but they also could each individually be true and create, you know, and it kind of depends which one happened first, you know, because it's like sort of a domino effect. If it was first, you know, I mean, and again, he sort of was looking at like what legal framework do we need to use to rectify the situation? So he's a lawyer, and so he's trying to figure that out and trying to, you know, he's sort of trying to train everyone in the class to help be sort of an army of educated activists and advocates to try to help figure out how to solve this, how to elect the right people to Congress and the Senate.
Boy, that's yeah. Boy, this is a long process. I mean, this has been going on since the whistleblowers did their hearings in Congress. And last summer, and we're still not hearing that much about it, are we? I mean, not certainly not on prime time television.
Well, there's whispers that another hearing is going to happen.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So, executive branch, and then is that one? And then there's another one.
Yep, the next one, theory number four is that it's not just an executive branch U.S. treaty with aliens. Instead, it's a multinational treaty between ETs and a bunch of nations. So that he and so he's just saying that's a different legal setup. Again, if it's like 20 nations have signed on to a treaty with aliens, it's no longer within the scope of the US only. It's now a United Nations, perhaps, or something like that, has signed treaty with aliens. So it's a multinational situation, and it's just more complicated to try to like figure out how we could deal with that. He's like, it could be a multinational treaty involving the USSR, China, India, France, Germany, and all of these agreements. And this treaty may involve underground bases in multiple nations. And so, yeah. That's
And
basically
so,
the
I mean, that would include China, right? Did you mention China? And what about
Well, yeah, I
India?
mean, we don't really
Yeah,
know, but
all
that's
of
what
it.
he's saying.
Yeah.
It could be a multinational treaty.
My. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
totally.
totally does.
I'll go with that one.
Yeah. Oh, and I should add that the theory of treaties definitely involves underground bases, joint underground bases built for aliens and humans. That's part of the story that's come out about it.
Okay.
Okay. All right, you
Yeah.
ready for the fifth theory?
I'm ready for the fifth one, I think.
Okay. The fifth theory is that basically the fifth theory is saying it doesn't really matter which human group made what agreement with the aliens because the aliens are so much more powerful than humans that it's really completely in the hands of the aliens. Basically, the aliens bullied the world governments and the elites to basically do what they wanted. And it's an interesting way to look at it, because it's like, yeah, it's that the it's basically just saying it's not the humans are not in charge. That it's a complete facade that there's humans at the top of this pyramid, and at the top of the pyramid are aliens. And so the humans at the top are just like basically being controlled and threatened by aliens. The aliens are saying to them, "We can kill you. We can kill all of humanity if we want." So they basically say to the humans at the top, "Come up with some method of doing our bidding. Do whatever we say." And they basically they've had no choice. There's not no human has been up. No, it's like Truman wasn't up there at the top being like, "Oh, I'm gonna steal this $1.2 trillion." Basically, Truman was up there being like, "If I don't do this, the aliens are gonna wipe out humanity." And so it was. And so if it turns out that it's, I mean, and also another way to look at this is like the aliens, they may have their own legal framework. That Earth and humanity is basically just a small, perhaps prison controlled environment inside of the alien framework. So it's like it doesn't matter what we do within our laws and legal system here. The US exists by virtue of perhaps some sort of just permission from the aliens. And then so he's just like, if it's that kind of situation, again, it completely changes how us as humans have to think about how do we ever resolve the situation. I mean, maybe instead of,
Yeah, it, boy, oh boy. I mean, it's becoming so clear. Just before our talk today, I was listening to a YouTube video. Let's see if I can remember the name. Okay, here it is. Anunnaki, mankind's forgotten creators who genetically created the human race. This is a YouTube video. It's about 26, 27 minutes. And there's it's it coming out in the science. I mean, the Sumerian, as they decipher the Sumerian tablets, the story is coming together that we are the product of genetic manipulation. And I mean, how can they be talking about that during, we're talking about Sumerian tablets. They gave a date to, over 200,000 years ago. Oh no, the tablets were not, they were, the tablets were talking about 200,000 years ago that we were genetically modified. I don't know that the Sumerian tablets go back that far, but, and it all kind of coincides with biblical things. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with the, if we're just a genetic project, we really don't have any control over what's going on. They probably just come back on occasion to check out how their petri dish is doing and make adjustments. Isn't that, it's crazy to think like that. Wow. But this is what the science is, this is what the archaeology is pointing to. How crazy is this?
And he tried to, he was trying to stay away from the theories that go back to the ancient aliens theory, ancient astronaut theories, not because he doesn't believe it's worth investigating, but he's trying to frame this and just like, let's assume this all goes back to 1940 to give us a framework to, or 1933, if that's sort of the starting point. But if the thing is, like you said, that might not be the starting point at all. This might have started before humanity even existed, and they've always been here, always been more powerful than us, and always been manipulating the elites on of humanity.
Now, if this is true, the and these ancient tablets are pointing to this, what they're basically saying is that they there is on Enki and Enlil, right? So Enki is the one that it's gonna get. I don't. I'll try and cut this down to a minute. Enlil is the one who is the big in charge guy, right? He's the number one. He's using us for slavery, for whatever he's wanting. He's not trying to do the best for us. He's trying to get what he can out of our existence. That's what we were created for. And then Enki comes along and sees some potential in us, and he wants to introduce genetically some genetic material that will help us, or at least give us the option or ability or something to have a higher consciousness. Because Enki was supposedly the one that gave humanity farming and mathematics and language and astronomy and all that stuff that makes us human in a more sophisticated way, not just blunt labor. And in that, he gave us the potential for a much more expanded consciousness. And I think that if we can attain a higher consciousness, the individuals who can attain higher consciousness are treated differently by the Anunnaki. They would be set into a different category, kind of like separating out the lab mice, you know. So that's why I think at this point in this life that we're living right now, we're being visited again. Maybe they've always been here, but they're making themselves more known, and we're finding out more just through archaeology and all. And that they are trying to encourage us, or at least Enki and his people, and we don't see them. This is a kind of a psychic thing going on in people who are able to quiet their mind. The goal is, this is what I believe, the goal is to create kind of a heaven on earth. And to do that, to have full knowledge and to be able to overcome suffering, that seems to be a really big part of this, that suffering is optional, that we feel pain. Pain is going to be there. It's an intense energy exchange in the body's neuron system. But the suffering is kind of an elaborate building up embellishment in the mind through thinking. And I think they're trying to manipulate that so that that's not so much of a problem. So I do think that we are an ongoing experiment. And I think that's what they're doing, trying to bring more of a accommodating life that's not suffering. I think that the reason for it, I think, is so that the gods themselves can come and, you know, vacation here without suffering. That's what I see. And it's all tying into what you're saying. And I do think they are in charge, totally.
Well, do you think there's more than one faction of aliens?
Yeah, there's two, according to the Sumerians. There's two main ones, and I'm sure there's others that are doing other projects. But the two main ones, according to the Sumerian tablets, and people can read a lot about this through Zachariah Sitchin, who kind of broke open this whole floodgate of information and has his interpretation. Some of his details are being, challenged, but generally, you can't challenge the fact that the Sumerian tablets are saying that there were two gods. They called them brothers. And Enlil was the one who was the bigger brother, and he's the one that's really in charge of manipulating all of humanity for his benefit or, you know, whatever. And then there's the other one, Enki, who wants to develop human beings into a higher consciousness without suffering, which is basically creating a heaven on earth. At least two factions.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, because the Farsight Institute, the remote viewing group that eventually we're going to get an interview with one of their remote viewers that had to be rescheduled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that there's two groups. There's the sort of malevolent aliens, which they say are primarily, you know, mostly reptilians. And
that
then there's
be,
a...
That would be the Enlil faction.
Yeah. And then they say there's a friendlier, a nice, more enlightened group, the good aliens that is trying to help humanity. I wonder if they're... And Lil and Enki are, it's just a metaphor that they use saying that they were brothers, and they're really just two powerful alien species that might not
There
be
are
related as brothers, you
yeah,
know.
there are more details. I'm trying to remember. I think they've had the same father but different mothers or something like that. If you want to dig into the details, I haven't dug in too deep, but this is what I'm learning.
I mean, it could just be that, all aliens, all life actually is related because it did have one common source. It might be like 4 billion years ago was the first life on one of these planets evolved, and it split several times. And, the reptilians are one branch, and the Galactic Federation or the Orions or the Pleiadians, I don't know, or another branch, and humanity is one of these newer branches that was created.
Oh, and one of the things that I was listening to toward the end of this video I just watched, they were talking about the Iraq War back in 2003 when we invaded Iraq. What was the name of that? Operation Iraq Freedom or something. And during that invasion, which I remember clearly, they were talking about the ransacking and robberies throughout the museums of Baghdad, and the things that were stolen were the cuneiform tablets from ancient Sumeria that actually describes more in more detail. The whole where we came from, and so it's a huge loss to our history. And for what reason? Why would anybody steal clay tablets that this was they suspect this was not just, guys looking for to make a buck, This was a very sophisticated theft. And these tablets were stolen that actually told the real story of our history. What a loss.
Well, I mean, if aliens have been here since ancient times, and they've been, say, occupying parts of Earth, and there were previous advanced civilizations here, then that could mean that there are spots, places on Earth that have incredibly important significance. They might have entrances to underworld cities, and so it could be that there's been a secret under, a parallel storyline that's behind many of the wars that have gone that have been going on. They've really been fighting about possibly some sort of ancient alien locations or artifacts or technology. And it's like they make an excuse for a war against Iraq, but perhaps there's something there that is that the MJ-12 group or the CIA, and they've really realized they want that, and so they find a way to justify the war to go get it. Same
That,
thing, I think.
I totally agree with you. And even back then, I was thinking something's fishy here. And then when I saw them ransacking the museums, I thought, that's it. Because I first read about Zachariah Sitchin, his work with the tablets and everything, probably over 20 years ago. And so this was happening right around that time where I was learning about all that. And so when they ransacked the museums, I thought, there it goes. They're going after that information that tells the crucial history about the Anunnaki. I think that's what they did. They were aiming for the history, for the museum. Something was in there that they needed
Yeah. I mean,
or didn't want people to see.
it could be alien technology. It could be a Stargate. I've heard, I mean, and
I've heard
maybe,
that. Yeah, I
yeah.
heard that too.
I mean, and I have the same theory about the Vietnam War, about Ukraine, that there might be locations that I just think there's like a hidden subtext that not telling us what these wars are really about. If they're about anything other than just a thing to distract humans, there might actually be some key properties that have incredibly profound significance or power.
I would love to just know, for sure. All right, so let's go on. Now you have six, and what else you got there?
Well, let's see. So the sixth theory is that there is no ET or interdimensional phenomenon. All of this tech and these UFOs are just secret US government tech, and that the aliens are a cover story to hide. It's a psyop to hide, that we have this technology from our adversaries. So again, that's another framework that would take a different method to resolve, because if they're operating without the oversight of Congress, they're violating the law in doing that.
Wow, yeah.
And then number seven is that the US government is split into two different factions, a pro-disclosure faction and an anti-disclosure faction. And this kind of fits with all the theories, but that the anti-disclosure faction is basically saying that if the truth comes out, it will destabilize the world, because ordinary people will lose all faith in governments, nation states, the authority of government, the media, and the power elite will lose their power. And they don't want to lose their power. So they're like, you just cannot let this out, because too many dominoes will fall.
I think just because we're going into the age of Aquarius, those dominoes are going to fall anyway.
Oh, and he said it in a really interesting way. He said inside of Washington, D.C., that there, or I don't know if he knows this for a fact, but he said there is a theory that there are secrets that are considered too big for anyone to let out. And there's sort of an agreement, a secret agreement between the power elites that, it's like you categorize a secret. There's like some scandals you can let out, but some scandals you have to handle inside the family, inside the family of the power elites. And this the truth about UFOs is one of those secrets that's considered inside the family, but they're trying to figure out a way to let out some of the truth about UFOs without pulling on the thread that lets all these other secrets come out, which I'm sure includes like the Kennedy assassinations,
Yes, very
probably
controlled.
9/11, the wars, and the money that's been stolen, just and it is going
I
to
mean,
destabilize the world.
what do you think it would do if we knew everything?
I think
What
they're
if we
right. They're going to
knew our
lose
whole
their power.
history?
The
Yeah.
people are going to be ready for a revolution and to rebuild Earth in a new way. And that, I think, is what needs to happen. So I have no, I don't have any fear, but I just don't want. I don't want people to die in massive, massive riots and,
No. I
horrible.
think, well, it's already happening. People are beginning to look at decentralized social structures. There's a guy that just wrote a book about it a couple of years ago. I can't remember. It's called something like How to Structure Decentralized Societies. Getting ready for, because whenever something gets too big, it ends up imploding like a deck, like a house of cards. Historically and everything, it's always been like that. The flower reaches its peak and then it decays, right? So at some point, this big, global structure complex net of whatever we're living in kind of caves in, and it is kind of rotting right now. And people are getting ready for more independent, decentralized, smaller structures. But still, if we can plan it all ahead of time, then we don't have to see everything collapse. We can maybe still keep our internet and all that. So there's already a lot of work going in that direction of how to take care of ourselves without, these grand overlords. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, if you let a whole bunch of lab mice out onto the highway, I mean, what's going to happen? We all might get destroyed and ruined, and some of us might be able to survive feral, and match in with the rest of nature. So, yeah, crazy. Crazy to
Well,
think about.
I mean, I guess like Haiti, it seems like Haiti is an example of what we don't want to happen on a global basis. It's just falling apart, and a warlord is taken over, and
Right. That's why people are trying to be proactive to sort of like, we don't have to give that power to them. We can take that power and put it into our own society, you know, any other structures decentralized that we can come up with. So there are people working on that. If we don't work on it, it's going to collapse into chaos.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yep. So I think, and that's kind of similar to what he was saying, and that's my thought too. We need to basically start building a parallel government for humanity, and something that we can trust. And maybe it needs to be broken up. Maybe it can't be global. Maybe we can break up the world into regions, states, but we need to start working on a whole new structure, because I mean, I guess that's one of the things Daniel was saying. It's possible that the systems and structures we have in place are just so corrupt, so poisoned and corrupt from top to bottom, we can't use them to fix them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a mess. Here's this guy's name. I was going to try to pull this up real quick his name is Johanna Givers, Johanna Givers, Givers, and he's got a website, johannagivers.com. He says, how to structure decentralized societies. One, you need internet and cryptography, right? Because you're going more into blockchain technologies here. And decentralized law structures, the choice of law, choice of educator, choice of, did I say that right? Adjudicator, and choice of enforcer, and then decentralized production, decentralized finances. I won't go into all of it, but he's got it all laid out so beautifully, and he's written a book, so I'm going to recommend it. So there, that'll help people get a start on constructing their own societies. We got to unplug from this mess.
Yeah, and I think we're just going to have to use Bitcoin as the
as he the says that decentralized currency and decentralized contract systems,
and not just Bitcoin. I mean, I think actually it's kind of a tangent, but I mean, Bitcoin I think is the foundation of this decentralized revolution to break away from the control of governments and their currency manipulation. But you know what I think also is really key is the altcoins, even meme coins like Dogecoin, Shiba, and WIF, and all these other ones that are going crazy. Because
they're going everything's going crazy right now.
Yeah, because right now, with the ETFs launched and BlackRock and lots of the global elites finally realizing they have to just try to buy as much Bitcoin as they can, because it's going to be the most valuable asset on earth. The funny thing is, if the whole world wakes up tomorrow and realizes that BlackRock and all these governments and one percenters have been just manipulating humanity since the beginning of time and just hoarding trillions of dollars from them, and simultaneously they wake up and they realize, oh no, BlackRock now owns like 5% of all Bitcoin. We could all decide to just shift to Dogecoin and just like, right. We could just shift to Dogecoin. And then if they chase that, we could shift again. We could shift to Shiba Inu or something.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. I mean, we're going to go through some pretty wild adventures. And I'm feeling very positive. Actually, there was a lot of fear, everything's collapsing, but now I'm seeing a lot of, highly intelligent brains stepping up to the plate it's like building safety nets. And the more we can do that, the more we can actually just create our own paradise. We don't have to be enslaved. So anyway, yeah, I've got confidence in humanity. We just got to put our heads together.
Yeah. I mean, I'm optimistic too. I mean, I do feel like the structures need to be, I mean, I actually think we can use the structures in place to fix the structures in place. I think this election season is very important. I am hoping that everyone realizes we do not have to choose between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. I am hoping that this is a turning point for Earth, and they realize It's the two-party system is completely corrupt and controlled. And we have, I know people think that some people think he's a nut job, but I actually think RFK Jr. is a good guy. And I think he could really help, to fix things going on. He's not perfect, but he seems to honestly be trying to figure things out. And,
Well, he's got the inside view going all the way back to his uncle. He's got that inside understanding of the CIA and the whole corporate capture dynamic, how the corporations have managed basically to capture the military system. They kind of using the Pentagon as a storefront or something. And Eisenhower gave a warning, at his farewell speech, beware of the military-industrial complex. And Kennedy has that inside understanding. He's been through it with his uncle, his father. So he's coming from a different background altogether. And I
yeah.
think you're right. I mean, they're trying to, kick him out of the playing field here. But people are seeing that he's coming from a experienced, deeper understanding of the secrecy and the corruption and the buyouts and revolving doors. He sees it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. He's got my vote.
Yeah, I've listened to many of his interviews, and I just like, I think he's really trying to be honest and figure out things, and he'll sit down with you for like 2 hours and talk about stuff. And it's a little, I don't know, there's something weird about Israel, and there's just something, I mean, something weird about the state of Israel. And nothing, I'm not saying anything about Judaism, but there it's kind of, there's something weird going on with the history of Israel and the state. I think, just like the US government, is highly corrupt, I'm concerned that the government of
Well,
Israel.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Orthodox Jews are not in agreement with this invasion of Gaza.
Yeah. And it's,
It's just the top government that's doing this. It's not the Jewish people. It's not even the Orthodox Jews. So, I mean, and I don't want to say everybody. Maybe there are a lot of Jews that are against or supporting Gaza being basically wiped out. But yeah, anyway, I agree. It's the top people that are doing this.
yeah, and so it's just sort of weird how RFK Jr. is, he seems to have unquestioned support for the war, and and so I just hope he is, I just don't know what's going on with that. I wish he had a little bit more nuanced perspective on what's going on with Israel and Palestine and Gaza. It
Yeah.
it's odd that sometimes Biden is putting out statements that sound more nuanced than RFK Jr. about that conflict. But
I thought about
yeah.
this because when he was out, he's been stomped a few times for supporting. They think he's supporting this, but he says he's supporting the Jews. I don't hear what maybe you're hearing that he's supporting the war. Maybe I need to listen some more for that.
He's just,
He's
he,
supporting the Jewish people, but I didn't hear that he was supporting the war. I don't know.
I mean, it, I don't know what's going on over there, and I just, but even with my like little bit of confusion about, it seems, about his perspective on that conflict, I still trust him to, I'm just hoping, I mean, we're so desperate to find leaders we can trust, and
Isn't that the
everything
truth?
on every other topic, I'm like, this guy sounds like he is trying to understand stuff, and he wants to make the world a better place, and and he's intelligent, and I mean, anyways, and I think, I mean, I think he's a threat. He is a threat to the
He is a
two-party
threat.
system.
He's a threat to the whole corporate, not just the military.
Yeah.
Industrial complex, but all the corporate capture of our FDA, CDC. I mean, yeah,
I
it's
mean,
ugly right now.
And we gave Trump a chance. He got to be president. He could have revealed the truth about the JFK assassination. He could have revealed the truth about aliens, and he didn't. He got in there, and instead, whatever reason, he didn't reveal the truth. I mean, the president has the power to release the full JFK assassination files. And you know what? Trump didn't have the guts to do it for whatever reason. You know who will do it is a guy whose dad was killed by the CIA. RFK
Absolutely. And
will
uncle.
release.
Yeah,
Just
JFK.
that alone is reason to elect him. Elect someone that will just tell us the truth about the RFK and JFK assassination, because I think the dominoes are going to fall from that. The dominoes,
Right.
it's going to lead to aliens, it's going to lead to MJ-12, it's going to just start to unpack everything.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah, big. Whoo.
all right.
Well, we'll see. I mean, do you think one of these days just somebody's going to pull the linchpin and the whole thing is going to come out? Or do you
No, I
think
mean,
this is going to be so controlled that we'll barely notice it? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what's gonna. It seems like this election season should put so much pressure on it. You know, I'm just waiting. If RFK Jr. actually, I don't even know if there's a debate of any sort. If there was just one debate and they had RFK Jr. on stage, and you know. I mean, if they had Biden and Trump, I don't think Biden will participate in any sort of debate. But if there was a debate stage, and I mean, you know, it was sort of just it was fascinating during the Republican debates. There was one question about UFOs and aliens, but it was really early on, and Chris Christie just sort of gave a joking response to it. And you know, they could have asked it again. It's really, it's
Yeah.
like, but I think they're waiting for a bigger stage to really ask that question. And I think if you ask it, it could start to rip things open.
Okay.
Or
Well,
if you
so
ask,
yeah. If it's going to get ripped open, I would imagine it's going to happen during this election year. Yeah. Has to. My goodness, Matt, you bring so much to the table. So seven. Okay, do we, and you didn't find eight.
Yeah, I don't have an eighth one
Okay.
written down. I think, you know, maybe some of them sort of overlap in some way.
Yeah,
But
they a lot of them do seem to like just fit together.
yeah, there were sort of, and you know, Danny sort of goes on these little tangents. He was talking about how, you know, how Kirkpatrick could, you know, get away from prosecution from his misinformation because there is a law, something, some law 12333 executive order that says it's illegal for anyone in the US government to do misinformation, but the law or the executive order has zero enforcement mechanisms, so they can just do it and there's no way to get them in trouble for it. So
Yeah, see, the whole thing is not structured correctly. I mean, we got a lot of foxes guarding the hen house, you know.
yes, exactly. A
Oh,
good way to
dear.
put it.
Yeah, I mean, you bring so much to the table. My mind is just buzzing. So, yeah, let's leave a minute to meditate before the end here. So,
I'm ready if you are.
are you? Okay, yeah. Boy. Yeah, you bring so much information, and it's not just information. It's really just a way of looking at our identity, our history, our who we are. It's pretty mind-blowing, and sometimes we just need to settle in.
I think it's great debriefing with you.
Oh yeah, this is good. All right, let's just take a breath. Feel our feet on the floor. And just be in this place of, gosh, we just don't know who we are. Isn't this amazing? It's confusing, maybe frightening for most people. Can we sit with that? Can we sit in this place of, I don't know? Because when we can let go and be in that place, it's really an act of courage because you're letting go of fear. So let's just be right here, courageously, in our hearts, feet on the floor, take a breath, and just admit we don't know. And yet we're still right here, right now, breathing. We're not even really running the show at all. We've got trillions of cells that are each one doing its work. We have thousands of enzymatic exchanges happening in our liver and our intestines. We don't know who's doing that. How did they learn how to do all that? So really we don't know. We don't know much. And everything we think we know is just that. It's a thought. What we do know is we're right here, right now, breathing in and breathing out. You can feel the palms of our hands. You can feel the life force in there. And just doing a quick body scan, you can sense your eyeballs in your sockets and the tongue in your mouth. Everything seems alien. And yet it's all working together. Let's just follow a couple of breaths all the way from the beginning to the top, and the top back down to the beginning. Breathing in and breathing out. And all is well. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Dora.
Have a great week.
You too.